You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Well, good morning, beautiful people. And I sincerely mean that. You all look beautiful. All of you. If you've never been told that, you are beautiful. The part that Brian doesn't always include, and this is the accurate version, I've been blessed to know Brian for a number of years. We actually served together in a church, and Brian was so grateful for my service that he fired me and sent me to China. And that's how I began my missionary journey. I didn't really want to be a missionary. It just happened that way. No, I'm kidding. I love St. Luke. It's so good to be here. But I want to start this morning with a confession, because I think that's how all good messages start. I spend a lot of time confused. And here's why I'm confused. Because I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people tell me about the good old days. And every time I talk to people, they tell me about how great it used to be. And I kind of get a little, jealous, a little sad that I'm not part of those good old days. How many of you remember the good old days? If you don't remember those good old days, how about these good old days? Huh? Are we tracking now? Remember those good old days? Remember when we used to pay $4 a minute to hear, and we thought that was the greatest technology ever. But if those good old days didn't get you, these definitely will. Maybe the worst device ever created, the Sony DVD player, to run with and jog with. Anybody ever do that with the headphones that you really couldn't hear anything on? Kids, let me tell you something. You have earbuds. You have no idea the pain that we used to have to go through. The reality is that the good old days can feel like they were times gone by. And it's easy to be in times that we face now, times that seem challenging, times when people seem maybe a little shorter, a little more angry, times when there seems to be political division, times when there seems to be economic strife, times when we see a growing pandemic or epidemic of suicide and mental illness, a time when it's easy to look around and be discouraged. Somebody else that felt that was Frodo. Can learn a lot from the Lord of the Rings. In this famous quote in the book, Frodo says this. He says to Gandalf, he says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." "So do I," said Gandalf. "And so do all who live to see such times. But it's not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that's given to us." Paul says something very similar to this in the book of Acts. They say something very similar to this. They say that God has set the dwelling times for man. That it's not an accident that you are in this moment, this time, in this place. Not in the good old days, but here right now. Now, when I get confused, I generally call Pastor Brian and he straightens me out. And honestly, the way he straightens me out is he usually tells me to read Scripture. Because when we're confused, when we're unsure of something, that's the first place that we should go. And today I want to take a look at Ephesians 4 and some parts of this, because I think this is what we find going on in the church in Ephesus. We see a lot of people trying to deal with this, and this is how Paul answers them. He says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." Walk worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Now again, because I'm a very simple person, when I think about calling, I want something that's very simple, very tangible. I'm kind of a doer. I'm the kind of person that likes to dive in, get things done, make things happen. So I've done our best to try to distill this today into four questions to help us think about calling. And maybe you're somebody here today that you've spent a lifetime thinking about this, and maybe this is the first time that you've ever thought about calling. And I would say this, there's a lot of great resources and ways that you can kind of dive into this space, but a simple way to think about calling is by asking four questions. And the first question that I want to pose to you this morning is, what is good? Because it's easy to look around as Christians sometimes and get discouraged. But the reality is that we live in a gospel that's inclusive. It's inclusive of four major chapters or four major movements of the gospel. This idea of creation, idea of fall, redemption, and a restoration. And inside that story, God starts our story and he looks at everything and he says, it is good. And then he makes people and he puts them in the garden and he said, it is very good. And he gives us kind of jobs, stuff to do, right? He gives us dominion over all these things. And it's easy to point out all the bad things in the world at times, but it's sometimes hard to see the good things. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about it this way. What are the good things that are happening that you can either preserve, protect, or advance? What is it that you can preserve, protect, and advance? All of you are in unique places and spaces. You're in unique workplaces, unique friend circles, different groups. And sometimes I think we tend to overlook the basic. We look for the big things that are taking place instead of the small things that God gives to us. You know, this kind of happened to the early Christians as well. In the early church, when the church was just forming, the Roman Empire was a disaster. There was a practice then called infanticide or exposure where they would take babies, generally baby girls, and they would stick them out in the elements and leave them to die. But Christians, these kind of, you know, weird people that were forming inside the Roman Empire at that time, Christians saw it as their job to save life. In fact, there's an early church writing called the Didache, and one of the pieces in the Didache actually says that the church is called that they may not commit abortion or infanticide. So here's the early church out there in this Roman culture that's pagan, that's doing these things, and they start going around and they save these baby girls. Rodney Stark, a Christian sociologist, talks about this in his book, and he says, this is one of the things that actually contributed to the explosion of Christianity. Just these normal, everyday Christians going out and saving baby girls. Because here's what happened. 20, 30, 40 years later, guess what? All these Roman men wanted to find wives. And there was no wives available in their culture because the Christians had them all. Guess where the good little Christian girls were? They're all in church. Roman guys want to get married. What'd they do? They did what all of us should do. They go to church. And they convert and they become Christians. In the empire, Christianity begins to explode. But my guess is that if we went out and we talked to one of those people and we just said, hey, do you realize that in 100 years, 1,000 years, like this thing that you're doing right now today is going to cause the birth of Western civilization? It's going to be the foundation for the growth of the church. It's going to broaden our Christian movement. They'd probably just say, no, I'm just trying to help that one. I'm just trying to protect that one. What if we look around and find what is good that we too can protect? What's the impact of that church in the next 20, 50, 100 years? Now, not only do we look around and think about what is good, but I want us to also look around and think about what is missing. Meredith and I did not collude on the puzzle piece, but man, that was great. But she's right. Like, it's easy to think about things that are missing and just let it go. But if we ask ourselves that question as it relates to our calling, and we can say, what is missing that we can add, that we can innovate, that we can contribute? Now, a lot of times when we think about addition or innovation, we kind of punt to the cool people in technology, right? Or the business leaders that make and grow things. But how about this? What if you're somebody that can add on an addition to a house? What if you're somebody that through a simple act of visiting, can add what's missing, which is a friend? What if you're somebody that can give a hug, somebody that can give a word of encouragement, somebody that can help somebody in need? See, missing things are part of our calling. It's part of what God's asked us to do, God's designed us to do, God's wired us and equipped us to do. And I don't know about you, but I'll be honest, sometimes, a lot of times, full confession, I miss the things that are missing because I'm going too fast. Paul talks in that passage about the need for patience, gentleness, loving kindness, fruits of the Spirit that Pastor Ebel just took us through, right? Also part of our calling. But do you see what's missing in the world? Does it kind of gnaw on you when you look at things that are missing and you want to fill it, or you want to add it, or you want to create it? That's God, the Holy Spirit, tugging at you, helping you understand your calling. The third question that I want to put before us is this one. What is evil? What is evil? It's kind of easy, I think, for us to look around, particularly as Christians, and think about evil maybe all over the place. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get overwhelmed by dealing with evil. Part of my role and responsibility is actually look at a lot of the things that are evil in the world, the systems, the structures, the headlines, all the things that are taking place. And quite frankly, it can get overwhelming. Do y'all ever feel like that? It's just like, I just want to shut this thing off or not read it or not look at it or not scroll through it because, Lord, help me, it's overwhelming. But that's where our calling comes in. And we can ask ourselves these three things. What is it that we can oppose? What is it that we can resist? What can we end? Now, sometimes when we hear language about opposing and stopping evil, we think of great people. We think of the Dietrich Bonhoeffers of the world, or we think of people like William Wilberforce who ended slavery. I'm not Wilberforce. I'm not a Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I'm just a dude that lives on a farm outside of Lexington, Kentucky, that most days just trying to get, you know, four kids around, take care of the problems that I'm dealing with. I'm not that guy. But you know what I can do? I can stand up for people that don't have a voice. When I see evil taking place, I can stop it. When I see people being bullied, when I see structural systems that make the world uneven, I can go fix that. When I see people that need prayer because they're on the front line in care centers and pregnancy resource centers, and they're helping stop the evil of abortion, they're helping to stop the evils of sex trafficking, I can support them. I can financially give to them. I can volunteer some hours to them. I can make a difference too. We don't have to be a Wilberforce. We just have to be us. We don't have to be great. We just have to be faithful. So if we think about what is good, what is missing, what is broken, what is evil, then I want to think about what is broken. There's a lot of things in the world that feel like they're broken. Me being one of them. And thank God that Jesus Christ saves us, renews us, restores us, and reconciles us. What is broken that you can go apply a reword to? Have you thought about the things that you could renew or restore? Have you thought about relationships that are broken that you could mend? Have you thought about friendships and relationships at work that you could maybe do something a little bit different? How about this one? How about in parenting relationships? Did you ever blow it as a dad or as a mom? Did you ever get a little mad at your kids? All right, if you have, and I have, I've gotten mad at your kids. No. Maybe mine too. But it's in those moments of brokenness that, again, if we take on the Spirit of Christ, if we step into those places, we can bring renewal. We can make something better. We can paint it. We can rebuild it. We can help. And church, I put these questions before us because, again, I think it's easy for us to try to make calling this big, complex thing, like God's calling me to the mission field, God's calling me to be a pastor, God's calling me to, it must be grand. And here's what calling is. Calling is just everyday faithfulness towards what God is calling you to. It's everyday faithfulness to what God is calling you to. But here's what I believe. I believe the world is broken. I don't know when the good old days existed, but I can tell you it's not right now. It doesn't feel very good. The world needs hope. And this is the hope that's going to change the world. It's Jesus Christ. It's the resurrection of Christ. It's Christ's life in us and ours in Christ. It's not going to be a political system that saves us. It's not going to be the next candidate. It's not going to be Wall Street. It's going to be the church. There is one hope for the world, and it's the church. And we are the church. Our job as Christians is to broker the truth and the hope of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you haven't thought about your calling, if this is something that you've never spent a lot of time on, take some time this week. Explore the scriptures. Talk to Pastor Brian. Talk to somebody on staff. Come talk to me. This is something, church, that we have to get right. Because I believe God's counting on us, because God uses the agency of man to fulfill his purposes. The question that we're going to have to ask ourselves is, when God calls, what are we going to do? Are we going to answer it? Are we going to let it go to voicemail? Are we going to send a text? Are we going to be too busy? The choices for us to make. And as we make those choices, we're not going to bat 1,000. We're not always going to get it right. But that's why the grace and mercy of God steps in to help us do the things that God has called us to do. So this week, when God calls, I want to encourage you to pick up the phone. When you're praying, listen. When you hear the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart, pay attention. See what is good. Search out what is broken. Look for what is evil. Figure out what it is and how it is that you can make a difference. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time and this space. We thank you for this place that you have called us to, Lord, called St. Luke's Church. We thank you, Father, that you have brought so many people into our community to encourage us, to love us, to spur us on, and to help us remember that we are part of the body of Christ. So, Lord, in our weakness, in our fear, in our confusion, in our doubt, grant us clarity. Give us the confidence, Lord, and the courage to answer your calling. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.